So we are holding on pay bays on the bays about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. The line begins Pesach.
Okay.
Okay, we left off yesterday like this. Our Mishnah had said that we learn from the Korban Pesach that just like the Korban, we learn from a hefesh between the Korban Pesach and other Korbanos, that just as the Korban Pesach can't be brought from Maaseh Sheni, it has to be brought from your own money, from Poland, so it is with all other Korbanos that you're required to bring. As opposed to be said, if the person wants to bring a voluntary shlomim or toida using Maaseh Sheni money, then he can do that. So that led us into a discussion, okay, so how do we know about the Korban Pesach itself, that you have to bring it from Poland? So we had a whole back and forth on it between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer started by learning it from Pesach Mitzrayim, which couldn't come from Maaseh Sheni. Rabbi Akiva tells him that's not a proof, because there is E-extra, there's no other, it couldn't have been any other way, because there's no Maaseh Sheni yet. Then Rabbi Akiva argues that you can learn from that Pesach in future generations is more similar to a Shlomim, because there's parts of them go on the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Eliezer answers him using a hekesh for avad jeres avodas as b'chodesh hazeh. By the way, we left open yesterday the question, what does Rabbi Akiva do with that hekesh? Especially he said at the end, ein m'shivan ala hekesh. The answer is actually that the Gemara in Tzachin learns from that pasuk a number of other dinim in which the Korban Pesach and Mitzrayim and the Korban Pesach of future generations have similarities. Because, for example, only by the one in Mitzrayim does it say it has to be eaten by night and not into the next day. Only by that one does it say that...
Until midnight, according to
some of the other Tanoim. Rabbi Lozman Azariah is the one who holds that Midaraisa, it's so chasun. Everybody else holds that Midaraisa, you can eat it, so Lalo is a shakar, and only Midrabanan do we have a Zerat chasun, because they'll have to saw them in Aveda. But anyway, the point is that only in Parshas Bo'i, by the one in Mitzrayim, does it say that detail, that it has to be eaten by night. Only in Parshas Bo'i does it say that the Korban Pesach, for example, that you can't give it to a Ben Necher, to a Yidush Shmadzech, or to an Oral, etc. So all those kinds of details we learn from the Hekesh, Ravad, Gazavad, Gazavad, Gazavad. So that's what Akiva would say, that's what we're using that Hekesh for, not to teach us about what the Korban Pesach can or can't be brought from. Because that you can't learn from Pesach Mitzrayim. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's a general hekesh. It means that's the thing. He would say that telling us that in general, unless otherwise specified, whatever applies to the Pesach of Mitzrayim applies to all Pesach throughout the generations. We ended up saying even yesterday it's not even really a hekesh per se, because then we can't use that as a source for another hekesh. Rather, what we said is that the Torah is telling us that all Pesachs are all in the same category, basically. So Rabbi Eliezer would say they're all in the same category, includes that none of them can be brought from Maaseh Sheni, and Rabbi Akiva would argue with that. Okay.
It says the Chodesh Hazeh.
The Chodesh Hazeh means in this month, meaning all Pesachs that are brought throughout the generations in this month. It means, by the way, some of those dinim don't apply to the Pesach Sheni, precisely for that reason. Okay. Fine. Okay, so for Rabbi Akiva, now we have to ask, according to Rabbi Akiva, Pesach the Ein Edva Element of Cholim Minale, so he does agree with the basic din. Where does he know this din that you can only bring a carbon Pesach from Poland? He agrees with the din that we said in the Mishnah. He was arguing with Rabbi Eliezer where you're learning it from. But if he, in the end, is not accepting that Rabbi Eliezer's hekesh, Rabatia, Sabradazes, is referring to that, because then what's his source? Right. Okay. The answer is Naskalai Mehaja Amash Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. If you learn from what Shmuel says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, it's follows. You have a passage that says, we've quoted it a number of times in Zvachim and in Armistasa, Zois HaTorah La'Ola V'LaMincha V'LaChakas, we say it every day in Davening too, Zois HaTorah La'Ola V'LaMincha V'LaChakas V'LaOshem V'LaMiluim Ol Zevach HaShlomim. This is the Torah, these are the rules, for the Ola, the Mincha, the Chakas, the Oshem, the Miluim, the Korbanos Miluim from the 8 days of Miluim of the Mishkan, and for the Zevach HaShlomim. So we have a hekesh between all those korbanos, and each one of those, the point is, from each of those korbanos mentioned in the pasuk, we're learning a detail that applies more broadly to the other korbanos in the list. So let's start with Ola, and we'll go through the entire teaching, the entire statement of Rabbi Eliezer, and in the course of that, we'll have one of these things, we'll see that they all have to come from Poland. So when it first mentions Ola, what are we learning from the Ola to the other Korbanos? Ma Ola to Una Kli, just like the Ola requires a Keli to shecht it, Kli. They said, well, we don't know yet actually what the Kli is. The Gemara is going to ask. Just like the Ola requires a Kli, so does every other Korban require a Kli. So we have to figure out, Maihi, what kind of Kli are we talking about? Elam and Mizrach.
Kotel means every
Kli. Any other Korban requires a Kli. But what do we, Tone means it requires? But what do you mean, what kind of Kli are we talking about? Do we mean Elam and Mizrach? Do you mean that, that'd be Mazle. Mizrach is a basin that you catch the blood in. Uh-huh. Are we saying that we learn from the Ola that just like its blood has to be caught in a basin, which is a Kli Shoreh, so does every other Korban? Well, you don't need that. Gabe Zivche Shami Sibu Nami Siv Yosem Ba'agonin. When it comes to the shlomim offered on behalf of the Sibur, so usually throughout on the steps, or whenever we're talking about Zivkesh and Zlachim, whenever we talk about Shami Sibur, we usually mean the ones that are brought on Shavuot, which they're called shlomim, but other than that, they don't know most of the dinim of a shlomim. But here we're talking about the shlomim that were brought right before Matan Torah, right after Matan Torah, we had Machlokes and Zlachim, when exactly it was brought. Anyway, the point is, there also, the Pasuk says that they brought Korbanos, and it says, by Yosem Ba'agonis, it says they put the blood in basins. So from that alone, you see, from that alone, it says, Vayizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim, so therefore from that alone, you know that you need a basin for the blood. And in fact, Yochas Rashi points out, the Gemara would think, it's preferable to learn from Shlomim, because then you could make a Kavachomer. And you could argue, if you're going to learn from an Ola, then you're going to say, okay, but an Ola is Kotcher Kotchim. How do you know, please close that. How do you know that, please close the door. How do you know the same rule applies to Kotchim Kalim? But if you learn from Shlomim of the Sibur, that itself is Kotchim Kalim, so obviously it applies more generally. So we would prefer to learn from there. So why, Dafka, are you telling me we should learn from the Ola?
I want to answer something.
Yes.
So in the Kaili.
Yes.
What's the question? How would you take the blood? Maybe on the floor?
No, maybe he would catch it in his hand, for example. We actually talked about it and talked him about one of the korbanos of another, also the par adruma, that the kohen catches the blood in his hand. Maybe it would be the same thing over here. No. So, El Asakim. No, rather, you would think better to learn from the shlomim. So why are we doubt the learning from the Ola? No. El Asakim. No, rather the detail that we're learning from an Ola is that it has to be shefted with a knife. And here you have an argument also, Tosfos mentions it. Tosfos mentions it over here, and we also learned about it in Zvachim. When we say that it needs a knife, do we mean that you actually need a knife which is a Kli Shoreh that actually belongs to the Beit HaMikdash and gives Kedusha to what it shefts? In that case, it would mean it has to adapt to be made out of metal, because we learned earlier in Amos Esther that all Kli Shoreh have to be made out of metal. On the other hand...
Every knife is...
No, not necessarily. No. We will learn in Chulin, Be'ez Hashem, in a few weeks when we get to it, we will learn that you can sheft with anything sharp, whether it's... In practice, of course, they usually sheft with metal knives, but in principle, you could use a reed, you could use even a large tooth, you could use a sharp stone, whatever, So one way of looking at it is that we mean it has to be a cliché, right? On the other hand, you have Gemaras in Cholin that imply that you could use a reed. So in fact, the Rambam in fact paskins that when we say over here that you have to have a sakin, it means only l'chatchila you have to have a knife. The Be'evid, as long as you use something which is sharp, the idea then that we say that you learn sakin, so miyocha sarashi says over here, it means that you should realize by other korbanos you don't do melicha. Unlike bird korbanos, where you slice through the neck using your fingernail, by animal korbanos you don't. You do need some kind of knife. Not necessarily. Does it have to be a metal knife? Does it have to be a clean charge? But it has to be something sharp that can do normal shita. Okay. So the oila gufa manolon, okay, by the oila itself, where do we know that it has to be shefted with a knife? Just this, because you have it in the pasuk, in the Akedah. By Yishlach Avraham at the other, by Yikach Ram Achelet, Lushchoy Jez Benoi, that Avraham stretched out his hand and he took a knife to sheft his son. So therefore we see that he needed a knife.
Yeah, but that's a human being.
So one argument is that in fact you have a couple of times in those circuits it says hamachelas, so therefore we can learn that it applies not only in that case, and one for human, one for animal. Yeah. So therefore v'hotam olah, and after all, there Yitzchak was going to be an olah. Just did vayalo olah tachas benoi, that the ram became an olah instead of Yitzchak, so otherwise Yitzchak would have been an olah. So therefore that teaches us that you need a knife, or for an olah. So again, it means that it doesn't necessarily mean that you need a metal knife, which is a Kli Shoreh. It may mean that you can use a Cholin knife. It may mean, as I said, it's Machlokes that you're showing him in a number of places in chat. It may also be that it doesn't have to be metal at all. It could conceivably be a reed or something, but it has to be some kind of knife as opposed to doing the list. Okay. Fine. So that's what we learned from Ola. Mincha. What are we learning from Mincha in the Pasuk Zayit HaTara? We're learning like this. Ma Mincha in an Achelos Elo L'Zichrei Kohona. Just like the Mincha, as it says in the Pasuk, is only eaten by the male Kohenim in the Azara, where there it actually says so, Kol Zachar B'nei Aaron Yichlana. Ach Kol, the same thing, everything else. Which in the Pasuk over here, Ein Nechol Elo L'Zichrei Kohona, can only be eaten by the male Kohenim. So we have to ask, mine, as far as what? Which of the Karbanos do we need to learn that we wouldn't otherwise known that only the male Kohenim can eat them? If we're talking about a chatas or an asham, the hedik says, it says already explicitly about them in the pasuk, and in parashas Tzav it says kol zochah b'vnei aron yichlana. So you don't need a hekish to teach us that concept.
Well, we're talking about a mincha here.
No. We learn from the mincha to the other korbanos, but the pasuk says zoyt hatar la'olav la'mincha v'la'chatas la'asham. So what are we learning? We're not learning from the mincha to the olav, because obviously the olav is not eaten. You don't need it for the chatas and the asham. It says so by then. So what do we need of the hekesh from the mincha between something else and between the mincha and something else in the pasuk over here to teach us that it can only be eaten by male kohen? So it can't refer to the olah, obviously. It can't refer to the chatas and the asham, because those we have an explicit pasuk to that effect. Well, the olah is not eaten, right? By the way, this whole discussion, I mean, we're bringing it in over here because we're trying to preempt Rav Akiva. We also have this whole discussion almost word for word in Zvachim as well. Okay. Anyway. If you're going to say that we need the hekesh to teach us that the zivchei shalmei tzibur, and here we mean the regular definition of shalmei tzibur, the ones that are brought on Shavuot, are eaten only by the kohenim. We don't need that. We learn that from a ribui in another pasuk, namely where it says the kodesh hakodashim techlanu kol zocho yoychal oisai, where it says in Parshas Korach, when it says that you should eat them in the holy place, meaning in the Azara. All males among the Kohenim can eat it. And from those extra words, because otherwise that pasuk is not necessary, limit, in particular the word yoichal is not necessary, because the race says tiklanu, limit al zivchei shalmei tzibur she'en nechalon al zivchei kohenim. From that we learn about the zivchei shalmei tzibur, that they're eaten only by the male Kohenim. So therefore we know it from that. We don't need our hekesh over here between a mincha and anything else. So the answer is tanoi. It's much like the tanoi. Ika demaisi lo mehocha. Some Tanoim learn it. The answer is, where we learn it from. The answer is the Machalik of Tanoim, where to learn it from. Some Tanoim learn it from our Pasuk over here, from Zayt HaTorah. The Ikka, the Maestro of Mahalcha, and others learn it from the other place, from the Pasuk in Parshas Korach.
What does the Pasuk say?
The Kodesh HaKadoshim Techlanu, called Zacho Yerichaloi, say Kodesh Yalach. So we learn from that it refers to the Shalmei Tzibur. Tosfos, in fact, points out that there's a Gemara in Zvachim that actually mentions a third way of learning how we know it, because since the pasuk mentions the kodesh hakodashim techlanu, and so actually what it is we learn from a pasuk that mentions aloi leisechem ba'al zivchei shalmeichem that there's a type of shlomim which is kodshe like the ola, and therefore can only be eaten in the azara by the kohen.
The type of shlomim is kodshe kodshim.
Yeah, the chashamik tibur or kodshe kodshim. Yeah.
Like
the ola, in the sense they're both kodshe kodshim. I mean, obviously the difference in ola is burnt, zivchei shalmeichem tibur are eaten, but the point is there's that similarity. He actually has three different ways of learning how we know that the zivchei shalmeichem tibur are eaten by kohenim. Some tanoim learn it from our process from zoyt hatorah la'ola la'mincha. Next, chasa. The other ones would say that we're going to learn something else. We're going to see soon that after we go through this whole braisa. Now, this whole braisa is not according to Rabbi Akiva. We're going to discuss soon. We're going to get to the middle of the Amud. We're going to say that Rabbi Akiva has a whole different understanding of what each of these phrases in the pasuk is teaching us. And that's where, eventually, once we go through that, then we'll see how Rabbi Akiva knows that the Pesach can only be brought from Poland, which is why we're bringing this in the first place. Okay. Next, chatas. When we mention chatas in the pasuk, what are we learning from chatas to the other korbanos? We're learning ma chatas mekadeshes bilua. Just like a chatas is able to make other meat have the kedusha of a chatas and the rules of a chatas if it absorbs from it. Namely, you have a pasuk by the chatas that says kol asher yigah b'ktora yikdash. Anything that touches its flesh becomes holy. And what it actually means is, in other words, if it touches and absorbs from its flesh, then it has the din of a chatas. Now, if let's say, for example, a shlomim touches a chatas and now absorbs from it, it effectively becomes a chatas in the sense that now that piece of the shlomim only kohenim can eat, and only in the azara, and only for a day and a night.
What does it mean by balua?
Balua means that it absorbs.
It absorbs.
No. We're talking about the shlomim was already shechted. The shlomim was already shechted, cut up, pieces have been distributed.
Yeah.
Now, by mistake, a piece of the shlomim touched a piece of the chatas and absorbed juices and taste and whatever from it. That part, which absorbed, and it depends how much it absorbs, eventually we'll learn a colon, Bez Hashem, what the various details of absorption are, but the part that absorbs is going to have the din of a chatas. So just like that applies to a chatas, the same thing, any other korban, also you have the same din, for example, between any other two korbanas. If an asham touches a shlomim, same thing. If a shlomim touches colon meat, same thing, etc. Okay, so that's what we learn from chatas. Okay, asham, what are we learning from the word asham in the process? What are we learning from the Oshem and the Pasuk? Ma Oshem ein shvir b'shur yakadosh, right? That, just like when it comes to an Oshem, the shvir, which means an embryo, or shilya, which means the placenta, are not kadosh, right? They're not kadosh. They don't have the kedusha of the Oshem, and the reason for that is because by definition, an Oshem can't ever be pregnant. An Oshem is always a male animal. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there's no such thing as there being a Shvir and a Shulia that have the kedusha of an Oshem. Therefore, we learn from that, Af kol ein Shvir v'Shulia kadosh, right? The same thing with any other carbon, a Shvir and a Shulia from that carbon will not have the same kedusha of the carbon. You have a discussion over here. A Shvir is an embryo,
yeah.
An unborn baby. And shulya means a placenta. Means a placenta. But Tosfos brings over here, Tosfos brings that Rashi in Zvachim, again, we have the sugya in Zvachim as well, Rashi over there says what it means is, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have the kedusha of a korban, as in you can eat it as cholin. What it means is actually the chalev of that embryo, or its kidneys, or whatever, the parts that would normally be emurim, are not offered from it. Tosfos discusses that, and other Rishonim also discuss it. Does it mean that, or does it mean that the baby animal itself has no kedusha of the korban at all? So there's two different understandings of what we mean. That ein shvir v'shuria kodesh, right? Does it mean that it has kedusha of the korban, just that it's a murim or not burnt on the mizbeach, or does it mean that it has no kedusha at all? Some of the Mefarshim explain there might be, you could make a distinction between was the animal pregnant when you were makdish it, or did it become pregnant only afterwards. Anyway, the point is we learn that from the Oshem. Now, by the way, this would only work, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said before, done in Epsha Mishi Epsha. If we go like Rabbi Akiva, that ain't done in Epsha Mishi Epsha, then there's no proof. Of course, in Oshem, there's no shvir to show you in it. It's always a male animal. Therefore, there's no proof that that would apply to korbanos that could possibly be female animals. This part of the bright, that we said, we started saying that Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. So this whole part is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. But fine.
Who says
Donin Epsha Mishi Epsha? That even though it's true that by an Osham, the reason you don't have a Shvir Vashulya is because it's physically impossible, nevertheless, we can learn from it. Nevertheless, we can still learn from that to other programs. Okay. That's the thing. The Donin Epsha Mishi Epsha. I skipped a line. Kostavar. Namely, Rabbi Eliezer holds Vlodis Kedoshim Bahava Yosenhain Kedoshim. He holds that the baby of Kodshim only becomes Kodesh when it's born, not when it's still in the womb. And he also holds, because otherwise, if he said it was Kodesh already in the womb, then it would have the Kedusha of the mother. And also, he holds, also he holds you're able to learn a possible case from an impossible one. You're able to learn from the Oshem to other Karbanas, even though by an Oshem, the reason there's no Shvir Shulya is because it's impossible. That's over there. Yeah, the whole part is the point over there. Okay. So that's what we're, so far again, let's see. From Oila, we're learning that you need a kezi, which we said means you need a knife, the shech. From Mincha, we're learning that in particular, the shalmei tzibur can only be eaten by the male kohen in the Azara. From Mincha, From Chatas, we're learning the concept of a korban absorbed to another one. From Oshem, we're learning about shvir and shilya. Next, miluim. What are we learning from miluim in this topic? We learn, ma miluim maestre and vestrefa, just like when it comes to miluim, whatever was left over, the meat of it, has to be burnt, because they were the pasuk says, the nivosim of sara miluim, if any of the meat or the bread is left over after the time, then you have to burn it. But, the ain balish chayim maestre and vestrefa, but you don't have that they need strefa, you don't have that the animal would possibly need strefa while it's alive, because you don't have that by the miluim. The only case where Hashem tells them to burn is leftover parts that weren't eaten in time. Ach kol, the same thing we learn from that. For other korbanos, moisrei and vestrefa, any noiser of the meat of it has to be burned. The ein balei chayim, moisrei and vestrefa, but the leftover animals don't need strefa, which means, in other words, Rashi says, if let's say, for example, that when we talked the other day, what moiser means, For example, you set aside two animals for achrayus, and you were makriv with one, and you have the other one left over. You have, for example, the case of a korban that gave birth, so that the baby is considered moiser. So we don't say that it needs sreifa. But one way of understanding that is, now in some cases, we know it is a chatos hamesa. For example, if the mother was a chatos, then the baby is one of the five chatos hamesa. However, we learn from this comparison to miluim. Now, by miluim, there were no live moiserim. There was no achrayus. There were no pregnant animals, etc. And therefore, there was nothing that needed strefa other than possibly leftover meat, if there was any leftover. The same thing, even in future generations, if you have, for example, a vlad chatos, which is one of the chatoris hamesis, you don't do strefa teis. Instead, you do what we discussed the other day, that you lock it up, etc. Some of the other Meforshim also explain that the point of it might be that, for example, you have, let's say, what do you do with the chatos hamesa? So, okay, eventually it dies. What are you doing with the carcass of the animal? Now you have, there are certain kinds of Isurim that you have to burn, and there are other kinds of Isurim that have to be buried. When we learn the Sefer Smurah, Baz Hashem, we'll talk about those distinctions. So therefore, the idea is what we're learning over here is that even after the chatos hamesa dies, you don't have to burn it. It's not one of the isurei hanah, which there are a number of them. No isur is one of them. Chometz, there's a number of others where you have the mitzvah. The proper way of doing the mitzvah is to burn them. Instead, the proper thing to do is to bury them. Okay, so that's what we're learning from Miluim. Shlomim, and then what are we learning from Shlomim to the other Karbanos? We learn like this, Ma Shlomim Mefaglin Mefaglin, just like Shlomim are able to make other things piggle, namely if the Shlomim itself is made piggle by doing one of the four avodas, then the Nesachim that go with it, or in the case of the Torah, the Lechem that goes with it, becomes piggle. Mispaglin, and they can also be the object of pigul, namely if he has machshava to, for example, to eat some of the meat tomorrow, then or to burn some of the chalav tomorrow, then all of it becomes pigul. And that mispaglin means that once the korban is pigul, then the other things that go along with it also, like the nesachim or the lechem, also become pigul. And mispaglin means that the korban itself is able to become pigul. And Tosfos says a little bit differently. It means also that, for example, within the korban itself, the blood, having in mind to sprinkle the blood tomorrow makes the meat pigul. So you have
not the part pigul.
Well, the blood itself can't be pigul because it has no matter. The blood itself is its own matter. Or no, it's not really matter. Yeah. Sprinkled on the mizbeach. Okay, but you can't eat it. But the point is, now, where does it say the whole concept of pigul? The Torah mentions that concept in connection with the shlomim. We need to know that it applies to all the other korbanim. This is where we learn it from the Tekish. Ma shlomim, mefaglin, mefaglin, afkom, mefaglin, mefaglin. We learn from that other korbanim also make pigul anything else that goes along with them. For example, their nesachim, and also that they themselves are able to become pigul, and that one part of it is able to make another part pigul.
From the shlomim.
Since it mentions pigul by the shlomim, this pasuk teaches us that applies to other korbanos as well. Now, we learned in Zvachim that on the basis of that, we said the korban has to have certain similarities to shlomim. For example, we had the opinion of Rav Shimon, actually, who said over there that the five chatoris and esrofis can't become pigul because they're not like a shlomim, because no part of them is burnt on the mizbeach. We have such things, but the point is the basic concept that pigul applies to all korbanos, we're learning from the text. Okay.
And this pasuk is in Parshat.
It's in Parshat Tzav. We say it every day in Davin, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Fine. So far that's all according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Masnisa Tana Mishmeh Rabbi Akiva, then we learn in a Braisa in the name of Rabbi Akiva, different ways of understanding what these words in the pasuk teach us. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Mincha. So Ola, okay, he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that from Ola we're learning that an Ola requires a Keli, which we said means a Sakin, and therefore all the other ones do also. What about Mincha? Now here is the first one where he differs from Rabbi Eliezer, because we said before that you have different Tanoim who learn the concept that Shalmei Tzibur are eaten by the male Kainim. We had Rabbi Eliezer is learning it from this Tekish over here, but we had two other opinions of Tanoim where we're learning it from, that we're learning it from Bekodesh HaKadosh and Tekulanu, or we're learning it from a different Hekish between a Chatas and Shalmei Tzibur. Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to agree that the word the Mincha teaches us this. He says, Ma mincha b'kadeshet b'zilua, just like with a mincha, that anything that absorbs from it has the din of that mincha, because the concept of absorption, kohanigeya bar yikdash, is said in the Torah also by mincha. Then the same thing applies to all other korbanim. So instead of Rabbi Eliezer was learning that concept from Chassas, Rabbi Akiva is learning it from Mincha. And the Gemara points out, the istirch l'michta v'chassas, the istirch l'michta v'mincha. In fact, the Torah needed to mention this concept twice. It couldn't have just said it by one of them and we would learn it from all the other korbanim, from it to all the other korbanim. It has to say it by Chassas, and it has to separately also learn it from, from Mincha. Why? Because the e cost of Rahman of Mincha, if the Torah had only told it and only told us this concept by Mincha, you would say, okay, Mishum did Akicha Bala. Okay, you know what? A Mincha is a soft, loose kind of thing. It's a mixture of flour, it's a mixture of flour and oil and water. So therefore, sure, it's easy for it to absorb. Chatas, but when it comes to a chatas, which is meat, it might be harder for it to absorb. Aim aloy. Maybe the Torah is not going to be so machmer to say that when it absorbs, it has the din. It has the din of the original carbon.
Why not?
Because you would think a mincha is more easy to absorb because it's made flour and water. It absorbs much more easily. On the other hand, the ikos of rachman of a chatas. But on the other hand, if the Torah only told us it by a chatas, you would argue the other way around. Mishum de boser agav de shomin kodir. You would argue like this: when it comes to meat, because the meat is fat, therefore, it's more easily able to penetrate other things that it absorbs penetrate more easily, and it itself is able to make things absorb more easily into other things. Primarily, Rashi Ksaviad says that we mean the first one, that in other words, that a chatas, because it has fat, therefore it's able to absorb much more thoroughly. Which is a concept.
That doesn't absorb liquid.
No, but it absorbs fat and taste and whatever from another piece of meat that's put in contact with it. In fact, in Cholin, eventually we're going to learn in Peregid Anasha and in various other contexts in Cholin, we're going to talk about the idea that yes, a fat piece of meat absorbs much more than a lean piece, and that has implications as far as Hilchos Kashrus. It comes up in Hilchos Tarubis, it comes up in Hilchos Basa B'Cholov, it comes up in a number of different contexts. So therefore, because it has fat, therefore Kadir, therefore it absorbs more. Aval mincha ein aloy, but you would think a mincha maybe not. Okay, a mincha has oil in it, but still, it's not the same thing as fat.
It absorbs.
Okay, but it absorbs a certain extent, but not
for the sake already?
No, even we're talking about a raw one, doesn't matter. Therefore, we need both of them to be said, because each one has different physical characteristics, and you wouldn't realize that the din applies to both. By the way, we've mentioned before the fact that in Chassidus, many times it talks about that Chassidus, Pnimiyus HaTorah, is the fat of Torah. And just like we're saying over here, that fat makes things absorb, may make things be absorbed better, so it is also the Chassidus that it penetrates everywhere, it penetrates into every area of a person's learning and gives it a new chayus that it wouldn't have otherwise. Okay.
And Nigla does not?
Nigla itself is like the meat. You need the meat, but you also need the point is the fat helps the meat absorb much more.
The Chassidus
is like the fat, and Nigla is like the meat. Yeah. Okay, fine. So that's what Rabbi Akiva is learning from Nigla. Next, Chassas. What is he learning from Chassas? He's saying like this. Not like Rabbi Eliezer before, who learned from it about Bilua, because essentially he already is learning it from Mincha. He just says that you need it also by Chassas because of the different physical characteristics. So therefore he says, Ma chatas ain't a, here's the key thing, why we're bringing this in. Ma chatas ain't a bar element of cholin. Just like a chatas can only be brought from cholin, as we will discuss later how we, well, in a couple of lines, well, we don't know yet, but in a second, we're going to see in a second how we know that a chatas comes from cholin. But just like a chatas can only be brought from cholin, ubayim, and it can only be offered by day, and it has to be avoided, it has to be done with the coin's right hand. The same thing, all other korbanos that are obligatory have to come from cholin and have to be done with the coin and have to be done by day and have to be done with the coin's right hand. Okay. So the chatas gufa menolon. So then the question is, how do we know about the chatas itself that it has to come from cholin? Because you have the process by the chatas that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, the hikriv Aaron as para chatas loy. The process says that Aaron should offer the para chatas that belongs to him. Loy means mishal loy. It has to be from his own money. The loy mishal meister, meaning that it cannot be from it can't be from the sibber and it can't be from meister. So therefore, we see that it has to be from cholin. So we're learning right back from the positive Zeis HaTorah that the same thing applies to other korbanos as well. Rashi explains, what about the other two details, that it has to be by Yoim, we're also learning from the Chatas of Yom Kippur, because by Yoim Azei Yechaper Aleichem. And Yodei Ha'imonis, we talk about in Zvachim, that's because it's there, and also in Orma Sechta, because the Pasuk says that the Kohen has to dip his finger in, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, whenever it says Espa and Kohuna, it means it has to be done with the right hand.
You can't say that it's just Yom Kippur, and maybe it's not.
No, no, you wouldn't have any reason to say that. So that's what we're learning from Chatas. From Shrei. You were learning Shalom, and incidentally, the other, but the question is, what do you mean, Bayoim? What do you mean, we're learning Bayoim from the Hekesh over here? Me Bayoim Savoisin Aska. I don't need to learn it from a Chatas of Yom Kippur. I can learn it from the next Pasuk after Zoy Satorah. The next Pasuk in Parashat Sav says, in the middle of the Pasuk, Bayoim Savoisin B'nei Yisrael, on the day that Hashem commanded B'nei Yisrael to bring their Korbanos. From that, we learn the general concept that Korbanos have to be brought by day. So you don't need the Pasuk Zoy Satorah to teach us that. The answer is you're right. The Gemara says Kedinasa. You're right. We didn't really have to mention the Yom. We were just, once we were mentioning the Dinim that apply to a Chasa, so we mentioned this one also. But it's true, we don't actually learn it from this. What about the next one also? The Yodei Hayimonis Nedidava Baba Chonanaska. The fact that Korbanos has to be done with the right hand, we also don't need the limud from a chassas, because we learn that from what Rabbi Baba Chana says, the Amar Rabbi Baba Chana Amar Shlokesh, Kol Mokum Shenema Espa Kohuna, whenever the Torah tells us that a korban has to be done with the finger, or when it says the word Kohuna, when it says the Torah.
With the finger?
So by the chassas, it says the finger. By all the other korbanos, it says the word Kohuna.
Okay.
So then Eina Ela Yamin. So then it means only the right hand. And again, the answer is Kedinasa. Again, it wasn't
the question.
The question is, why are we saying that we're learning the Yamin from the Hekesh between Chasos and the other Korbanos when we know it from the fact that by all the Korbanos it says the Kohen has to do it? And the answer is Kedinasa. You're right, it was unnecessary to say it. We just mentioned it incidentally. Tosfos points out this one actually is not totally Kedinasa because, after all, we have the opinion of Reb Shimon earlier in Armasechta and Zvachim, where Reb Shimon says, just because it says Koyin, that's not enough to require the right hand. In fact, Reb Shimon says that certain avodas are kosher with the left hand. Only if it says Espa doesn't mean the right hand.
In other words, he has to be a righty.
So, well, that's true also. If the Koyin is a lefty, he's a Balmum, but we're not even talking about that. Even if he's a righty, if he does the avoda with his left hand, halacha is
with both hands, he can do it with both
hands. No, he can't do it with both hands, no. So if we said that we're going according to Reb Shimon over here, then we would say that it's not really Kedinasa, because Reb Shimon's only way to learn that the rule that applies to Chatas applies to the other one would indeed be from the Tekish.
It's not totally Kedinasa,
but he's the only one.
The other ones would learn it.
The other ones would learn it from the fact that it says Kahuna. Yeah. I mean, Tosfos also goes on about the whole business about we learned in Zvachim that you had an opinion that said if you learn something with a Gzeira Shava, you can't learn from it using a Hekish, so then it really would have to be Kedinasa after all over here, it really would have to be because the fact that the Chatas itself needs the right hand, we're learning from a Gzeira Shava from the Masada, so we couldn't then learn from that to other things, so then of necessity.
So Hekish
and a Gzeira Shava, I think he said he could, but a Gzeira Shava and a Hekish, we had different opinions about it. So according to that opinion, also you would have to say that we can't be learning from here. Okay. Fine. Next, Osham. According to Rabbi Akiva, what are you learning from the word Osham in the Pasuk? So again, the next one in the Pasuk was Chatas, then there's Osham. There's also Miluim and Zevach Hashlamim. So okay, those apparently Rabbi Akiva would agree with Rabbi Eliezer that we're learning the same things from them as Rabbi Eliezer does. But what about the Osham? He's learning a different din. Rabbi Eliezer.
When do you bring an Osham?
You bring an Osham in six possible cases. We say them every day in Davening. Asham Zelos, of course, he stole and swore falsely on it. Asham Me'ilos, if he did Me'ilah. Asham Shifcha Harufa, if he had relations with Shifcha Harufa. Asham Nazir, when he's finished it, when a Nazir Tomei has to start over his Nazirus. Asham Masoda, when a Masoda finishes Sarat. And Osham Tolu, when a person is not sure whether he did something that makes him a Chayav Chatas. Okay. Anyway. So, Rabbi Eliezer, before earlier on the offload, had learned from the Osham about the business of Shvir and Shulia, about the business of unborn babies, where he said, you're learning from the Osham, even though an Osham physically can't have unborn babies, because it's always a male, nevertheless, he says you can learn from that child of things. So Rabbi Akiva, who disagrees, he holds, dumbing Efshem Shem, Rabbi Akiva, who disagrees with that, has to have a different mode. So therefore, what he learns is as follows. Ma Osham, Moisav Mutorin, just like when it comes to an Osham, you're allowed to have Hana from the bones of it. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi points out, if the bone has marrow in it, then actually no, because then the marrow in it would become noisome. So if it's most carbonous, okay, you could break
off.
Not every bone has marrow. Most of the bones do, but not all of them do. So then the point is that if it has marrow, then noisome would be hal on it. So then you'd have to break
the
bone.
No.
With most carbonous, you're allowed to break the bones. Therefore, you would have to break the bones and get out the marrow. Otherwise, it's going to become noisier. And once it becomes noisier, you have to burn the bone with the marrow in it.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about over here, and in the case of the carbon paste stuff, you can't, because you can't break bones.
Right.
But a bone that doesn't have marrow, then we're saying it's mutter. You're allowed to do with it whatever you want. When we look at this in Zvachim, the Gemara said over there, you would be allowed to use it, for example, for handles of silverware.
If it doesn't have marrow.
If it doesn't have marrow, because and therefore there's no problem with noisome.
And the Pesach cannot be broken.
So the Pesach you can't break, therefore you have to burn the bones afterwards because they have marrow, and then it became noisome. Because that's what the Torah says, that's the Moisish, by the way. Okay, but the point is, given that the Miyuchas Rashi on the top says, given that the meat of an Osham is mutter for the Kohenim to eat, the same thing applies to the bones are also mutter for them, and since the bones are not something that's edible, and if we're assuming that they don't have marrow in them, or you broke them open and already took out the marrow, then therefore the bones are mutter because they're not essential, in that sense they're not essentially part of the carbon. So all that is one way of looking at it, is because since the meat of it is mutter, therefore automatically the bones are mutter as well. The other way of looking at it, Tosfos brings from the Gemara, from Rashi on the Gemara and Zvachim over there, that the reason is that the reason why we take it as an obvious fact that by an osham the bones are mutter is because since by an osham it says the word hu, osham hu, and it's talking about after the emurim have been burnt, implying only the meat of it is an osham, the bones are not considered part of an osham. So either we'll, because it says hu. So again, either we're learning it from the fact that the meat is mutter, therefore automatically the bones are mutter. Or Tosfos brings another possibility that we're learning it from an extra word lo yiyeh that says by the osham. Or Rashi over here says that we're learning from the word hu. Whatever it is, it's an obvious fact that by the osham, the bones of it are mutter b'hana, and they can make silverware, or they can make tableware, or whatever out of them. Af kolos moisav mutorin, the same thing applies to all other karbonos, that you can use the bones of them, except the carbon pesach, of course, you can use the bones of them for whatever you want. So that's what he's learning from osham. Okay. So the point is, from this whole long discussion, from this whole long quotation of Rabbi Eliezer and then of Rabbi Akiva, we get from that Rabbi Akiva learns from Chatas that just like a Chatas can only come from Kolin, which in turn he learns from the carbon of the Kohen Gadol, so it is also by all other obligatory carbonists. Therefore, that's where he gets the idea, that's where he gets the din, that the Pesach can only come from Kolin.
Right.
This that Rabbi Eliezer, we said, learns from the Pesach Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva says, can't, ain't gone in Efshe Mishi Efshe. And you're Hekesh Ravata Savardazos. I hold teaches us about other similarities between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Zeres. But therefore I need to learn it from here, from Chassah. Okay. Fine. Now the question is, Rav Akiva hides Ravata Pesach my other. Okay, so ultimately everybody agrees with the din that a Pesach has to come from Kolin. So now the question is, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, we said once we know it by the case of the Pesach, which according to Rabbi Eliezer, ultimately we know it from his head, we learn it from Pesach Mitzrayim via his Hekesh, then we said we learn from that, we said it's just there's one category of Pesach, we learn in turn from the word Zavat
Pesach. But it's one category.
So we just said it's not really a Hekesh, it's just the same, it's all one category. So once we have it, so the category of Pesach, which can only come from Poland, then our Mishnah has continued from that then you learn from a Hekish or Zavach or Pesach or Hashem or Pesach or Sponer Boker, that every other carbon that's brought from Sponer Boker has to be like a carbon Pesach, in that it can only come from Kolin. Now that all is only according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Akiva, who instead is learning it from Chassos earlier, from the Hekish between Chassos and all other carbonists, so according to him, Rabbi Akiva, I was Zavach or Pesach my other way. So what is he doing with the Pesach? Because Zavach or Pesach or Hashem or Pesach or Sponer Boker.
Because
he doesn't need it. He's learning it from Chassos. just like a chassas is from kol and everything else is from kol.
Right.
So he doesn't need a hekesh between Pesach and everything else. So what is he doing with that hekesh? Yeah. The answer is no. The hekesh mentioned the Mishnah. The hekesh mentioned the Mishnah. There's a vach to Pesach, lashem letecha. So in a Voker, that given that Pesach doesn't come from Voker, because it only comes from son, it only comes from sheep and goats, we learn from that there's a similarity between the Korban Pesach and all other Korbanos, namely the Pesach can only come from Cholin, which Rabbi Eliezer learns on the basis of his limud from Pesach Mitzrayim and from his Hekish. Therefore, all other Korbanos the same thing. Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't go about it that way, instead of learning from that there's a concept of Pesach, and then from that you're learning to everything else, he's learning from Chassos to everything else. So according to him, what do you need a Hekish? He's in the Pesach and everything else. The answer is Miboyle Chidur of Nachman. He needs it to teach us what Rav Nachman says. The Amr of Nachman, Amr Rav Barua, Minayim L'moyser HaPesach Shekor of Shlomim. How do we know that the leftover of a Pesach is Vod of Shlomim, which leftover of a Pesach, we talked about before, can have two different possibilities. Rashi Ksaviyad, the actual Rashi, mentions only the one possibility. For example, a person set aside money for his Korban Pesach, and then it turned out he had more than he needed, so the rest of it is Moyser. So it has to be used for Shlomim. Miyuchas Rashi on top mentions another possibility that you have an animal that was designated as a Korban Pesach. You lost it, then you designated another one, and then you found the first one, so then so you're going to have a Moisa Pesach. So how do we know that that is offered as a Shlomim? Shenema v'zavachto Pesach v'asham alekach v'sav nuvachar. Now the question is again, as we asked in the Mishnah, v'aloy ein Pesach ba elam akvasim v'nevizim. What do you mean Boker? The Korban Pesach cannot be brought from Boker. So what does the Pesach mean? Elam Moisa ha-Pesach, what we learned. Shoin means sheep and goat. Shoin is a generic word for, in English it was translated as flocks. No. Okay, keep in mind, you have three types of domestic animals that can be brought as korban. So remember, no wild animals, only domestic animals. You only have cows, sheep, and goats. In Torah terminology, sometimes you can talk about them separately, kvosim, izim, and porim. Sometimes you use the word shoin, which in English you can translate as flock, to mean generically sheep and goats. The sheep and goats are both fruited in flocks as opposed to cattle or not. But shoin is a general term covering sheep and goats. Bokur means cattle, cows and bulls. So now the Korban Pesach doesn't come from cows and bulls, it only comes from sheep and goats. So what do you mean shoin and bokur? It could. You could bring a goat as a Korban Pesach, absolutely. There's not preferentially. Whatever you prefer. There's no preference of one over the other. So we learn from this pasuk, moiser a pesach. It means the leftover of the pesach. Again, it's leftover money or this lost and then found animal. Yehei l'dover habomin asonim and abakar should be used for a type of korban which can come from cattle, from flocks, from sheep or goats, or from cattle, namely a shlomim. Now, Rashi points out, of course, an oil also can be from any of those three, but the fact is, the Korban Pesach originally was meant to be eaten, so logically, you want to then transform it into another Korban that's going to be eaten, not an oil which is going to be completely burnt. Anyway, the point is, so Rabbi Akiva will learn that from this process. He'll learn this concept that a Pesach becomes, that Moshe Pesach becomes Shlom. Question is, Bahama.
That's what he learns
from this pasuk, the Vakta Pesach Lashem Alasach Asonu Vakar. The pasuk that we said in our Mishnah that we're using, that once we know a Pesach is only Bo Menacholin, that also other Korbanos are also Bo only Menacholin. Rav Akiva says, I don't need that because I'm learning from Chasa. So according to him, he's using this pasuk to teach us about the Moshe Pesach. The question is, Bahama, Hosham Naska, you're learning this din from here? Midavur de Shmuel Nasa. That din, that the Moisa Pesach becomes Shlomim, we actually learn from what Avur de Shmuel says. And by the way, of course, you know, it should be an obvious thing, but it's still occasionally good to point out. Avur de Shmuel is a couple of generations after Rav Akiva. We don't mean that when we say that when we give this limud in the name of Avur de Shmuel, we don't mean that he's the first one to mention it. We mean it became famous among the Bnei Yeshiva in his name, but it was known way before that. He learns that the Moshe Pesach becomes Shlomim from a different pasuk. The pasuk says that when it first introduces the concept of a Shlomim, it says, in that son korbanu lezevach Shlomim, if from the flock he's bringing his korban for a Shlomim, for a Zevach Shlomim, But Omer Avur de Shmuel. So Avur de Shmuel says that the pasuk is also teaching us Dover Habomin Asayin, a korban which can only come from the flock, namely a korban Pesach, Yehei Lezevach Shlomim, should, if it can't be brought as a Pesach, should be brought instead of the Zevach Shlomim. In other words, Rashi points out there's extra words in the pasuk because the pasuk starts off by saying that the sukkim before that are already talking about a shlomim. Then it mentions what you do if you have. It mentions what you do if you bring a bull or a cow as a shlomim. Then it continues. The inyan aftan kabbonu lozevach shlomim l'Hashem. Those words lozevach shlomim are extra. We know already we're talking about shlomim. But therefore, we learn from that that something that can only come from Tzoyin, namely the Korban Pesach, if it's not brought to the Korban Pesach, is instead brought to the Shlomim. So we learn it from that. We don't learn it from the Zavach the Pesach.
Zevach Shlomim.
We learn it from Zevach Shlomim. And the Gemara says,
because it says
the extra word is Zevach Shlomim. But then the Gemara continues. Okay, but the Akasi Mehochanaska. Okay, but let's go even further though. Are you learning that the Shlomim that the Pesach becomes a Shlomim from those words the Imin Aspen Korbanu Zavach Shlomim Mehochanaska? You actually learn it from the next pasuk, namely the Tanya, because we learn it in the Brasa. In the next pasuk it says Kever. Kesev actually says in the pasuk. The pasuk next continues. If he's bringing his korban as a sheep, then here are the rules. So that word keves l'rabbis is a pesach la'al. That word keves comes to say, and the next stukim after that, after it mentions the pesach umakri, it mentions the parts that have to be brewn on the mizbeach, and one part that it mentions over there that you don't have by korbanos from other species is the alya, the fat keves. So therefore, the word keves l'rabbis is a pesach la'alya. It comes to also add that you should know that the korban pesach also, when you offer, if you're offering a sheep, that you also have to offer the alya on the mizbeach, just like the shlomim, the tail. Yeah, you have there's certain breeds of sheep. We're going to learn in the next parak what type of sheep they use at the end of the next parak. We're going to talk about what type of sheep they would use for korbanos and the type of sheep that they use grew very fat tails. They would store just like the way camels store fat in their humps. These sheep store fat in their tails. So therefore, and that part, the Torah says, you have to offer that part on the mizbeach. So that we know by shlomim, and when it says keves, that teaches us the same thing applies to a korban pesach, where otherwise, after all, you wouldn't know. Because you don't have any place where it says explicitly what a murim of a korban pesach has to be offered. And in fact, there's an argument, some of the Mefarshim explained, given that the original pesach in Mitzrayim, as we said yesterday, they actually ate all the murim. You would think, okay, Ladur is fine. You can't eat all the Amurim. You can't go and eat Chalev. But at least, for example, the Alya is not really Chalev. By a regular animal that you shech, you're allowed to eat the Alya. Why should you have to burn it on the Mizbeach? We have to have the word Keves or Kesev to learn that from. Then, Kshu Oyma Im Keves, but the passage doesn't just say Keves u'makruv, it says Im Kesev u'makruv, if he's offering a sheep. And from that we learn, Lahavi Pesach Sha'avrashna. So from that we learn that if the animal for the Korban Pesach is over a year old, then it's possible for a Pesach, because it has to be within a year old. Ushlomim Avoyim Machnas Pesach. And also we learn from it, the Shlomim that comes because of the Pesach.
We learn that from
the word Im Keves. Lahom Mitzvah Shlomim. No, we're learning from Keves and we're learning the various things that are not a Pesach but are related to it. Pesach Sha'avrashna, say an animal that was supposed to be a Pesach but now is too old. And Shlomim Aboyim Machnas Pesach. Lachol Mitzvah Shlomim, that those Korbanos have all the regular rules of Shlomim. Shiyitan of Smicha. So what do we mean by Shlomim Aboyim Machnas Pesach? So Miyuchas Rashi says means Moisa Pesach. And Tosfos agrees with that. Rashi Ksaviyad over here says that actually what it means is the chagiga that you bring normally on Erev Pesach to eat together with the Korban Pesach so that you eat the Korban Pesach ala soza. The same way as nowadays, you're supposed to eat that bekomen at the end of your meal, the same thing then, you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of your meal, so you eat it, and that fills you up, because that's the best way of eating the Korban. So in other words, the idea would be, so Pesach Sha'av Rashnase is an example of Moisa Pesach. That's an example of a Korban. So therefore, Shlom Maboy Machnas Pesach, according to that, doesn't have to mean Moisa Pesach. It means the Chagiga that comes along with the Pesach.
But it can mean also the most effective.
Well, again, no, but no, according to that, it would, no. So you have the two different explanations, what Shlomo Avoy Makom Pesach means. But even the opinion, even Rashi Ksavyad, who says over here that it means the Shlomim, that it means the actual Shlom, the Shalmei Chagiga, he agrees, of course, that Moisa Pesach, there's a Gemara, because he gets it, because we say Pesach Sha'ov Roshnasei, that's an example of Moisa Pesach. So therefore, it would apply to the same thing to all the other Moisa Pesach. Okay. So anyway. So all of those have the mitzvah of shlomim, shiitin and smicha. They all require smicha, unlike the korban pesach, which does not. But because now it's a shlomim, it does. Or nesachin, they all require nesachin again, unlike the korban pesach. Or tnufas chos v'shorik, and the chest and the thigh and have to be waved like with a regular shlomim, again unlike with the pesach. That we're learning from the word inkevin. And then so we learn all those concepts that need. Smicha and the Sakan and Snufa called the Shaykh, we're learning from the word in Kevin. Yeah.
So
the Pesach itself wouldn't need. If you bring an actual Korban Pesach, it doesn't need the Sakan, it doesn't need Smicha, and there's no Chos V'Shoyk, yeah. And the Braisa finishes off, Shu Omer the Im Eiz, then you have a couple of Sukkim later, the Pasuk continues, if the person is bringing a goat as his Korban, and it says the rules over there, Hiftika Inyan, so that breaks things up, that comes to teach us that the goat does not have the same dinim as the sheep, as far as these things, meaning, in other words, so miyuchas, so Rashi says, because it could have said im, and it says vi'im, so we learn from that the A's does not have the same din, limit ala A's, she'en it's ala alia. From that we learn that when you bring a goat as a korban, any kind of korban, you don't offer the alia of it. So in that sense, and that would apply again, both to the shlomim and to the pesach. So therefore, in other words, so far, because the in A's, right.
Reinforced rather than diminished.
No, but since it said it could have said in A's Korbanon, and we would understand that it means it has the same rules, and it says the in A's, then it breaks it up, and it means that the A's has a different rule. Anyway, the point is that, so the point so far is that we have three limudim for this concept that Moisa Pesach becomes Shlomim. We said at the top of the Amud, we had Reb Nachman's limud from the Zavakta Pesach, which we wanted to say that's what Reb Akiva is using, because since he doesn't need that pasuk as we used it in our Mishnah. We had Avor de Shmuel's one from the Immin Aston Korbono Zavak Shlomim. And we have the third one in a Braisa that we learned from Im Kevin. So why do we need three of them? So, so ultimately what we have is we have three psukim, and we learn from each one of them a different taste. One teaches us that if the time for bringing the korban Pesach has passed, meaning Pesach has already passed, and you didn't bring the animal to korban, and the Ovra Shnatzai, and the animal itself is already over a year old. So let's say, for example, exactly what it sounds like. You were supposed to bring it Erev Pesach, and if you had, it would have been less than a year old. But it was born, let's say, right after Pesach. So now it comes after Pesach, and it's already over a year old. So one of these psukim teaches you that one becomes a shlomim. V'chad la'ovras manei v'la'ovras shnatzai. A second one teaches us for the case where Pesach has passed, but the animal is still under a year old, that it also becomes a shlomim. And the third one, the third one teaches us that even if the time has not passed and the year has not passed either, which means, in other words, so Miyuchas Rashi explains the scenario would be, for example, again, it got lost.
The first is the time
and the year are passed. The second one is the time but not the year. The third one is neither one. So in that case, why aren't you bringing it to the Pesach? So Miyuchas Rashi says, let's say the animal got lost, you designated another one, then you found the original one, so now the din is, since you're not going to be bringing two korban Pesach, if you want, you can take the first one and shecht it before Chatzos as a shlomim. Even though conceivably you could have kept it till the afternoon and bring it to the Pesach, but you're allowed to bring it earlier in the day as a shlomim. Yeah, right. It does. We learned in Zvachim it requires akira in that case. You have to actually say that you're taking it away from being a pesach and making it a shlomim. But okay. Rashi Ksavyad says more generically that's talking about that he designated a sheep for his pesach and then he shechted it before pesach. In Agoris Fetiyonim, it brings over here that the Shitim Mukubetis brings that Rashi, the same Girse in Rashi as we had, as in Yochas Rashi, that it's talking about where it got lost and then he found it, etc. And then he brings another one also, let's say the owner died before the chested. Again, the point is, so this third case is talking about where the animal still conceivably could be brought as a Pesach, but instead you chose, for whatever reason, to chest it before Pesach.
Okay.
But then, so it becomes a shlomim, and we need all three stuff.
But one second, what about the case, the Chag Rav HaShana, who does money? There's no case, such case like that.
Well, I mean, if it's over Zmane, then it doesn't matter whether it's before Pesach or not. Once it's over a year old, it's disqualified as a Pesach. Anyway, it's not to talk about. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara says it's Tzvishri. Now, I need all of these three cases, and I need Sukkim for all these three cases. If we only had a Pesach. And I have to keep in mind, the Pesach doesn't explicitly, none of these three Sukkim explicitly say which case it's talking about. So if we only had one Pesach, we would think it's only talking about the more obvious case, not about the less obvious one. So we need all three of them, because the Iashmin of Rasman over Rashnasa, if we were only told the case where it's doubly possible because Pesach has passed and the animal is a year old, you would say, okay, from the Ilchel Legami. Okay, the reason why it becomes a Shlomim automatically is because it's completely pushed away from being a Pesach. There's no possibility that it's ever again going to be a Pesach because it's over a year old. And Pesach has already passed.
Well, we don't need it in this case because
you
just said now.
No, but the fact is you need to know that it's a Shlomim, otherwise you wouldn't know what it becomes.
More than a year.
How do we know that it becomes a shlomim if you don't have a pasuk to tell us? That it can't be a Pesach, that part is obvious, but that it becomes a shlomim, you need a pasuk, yeah. Avo ovras manoi v'lo ovrashna. So, but you could argue, if Pesach has passed, but the animal is still under a year old, dechazi v'pesach sheni, where after all, the animal could conceivably be used for Pesach sheni. Now, not necessarily by the owner himself, the pastor, he already brought a Pesach rishon, but it could be used by somebody else for a Pesach sheni, let's say. Emeloi, so you would think maybe not, maybe it doesn't automatically become a shlomim. Therefore, you need a pasuk for that.
Of
Roshnas, where the time passed, but it's still under a year old.
Okay.
You were asking about the case where it's over a year old, the Pesach didn't come yet. That's neither here nor there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The Iyashmin and Ovra
could apply to a Pesach Sheni.
That's the point. You would think maybe since it can be used for a Pesach Sheni, it doesn't automatically become a Shlomim. Therefore, you need a pasuk to tell us that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Ashmin and Ovra's Manev like Ovrashnas. Right? On the other hand, if you only had a pasuk for that case, where Pesach has passed, but the year hasn't passed yet, you would say, okay, the Idchelim and Pesach Rishon. Okay, but you could say, you know why it becomes a Shlomim? Fine, conceivably it could be a Pesach Sheni, but the fact is, it's already been pushed off from being a Pesach Rishon. So Pesach already passed, and by the time Pesach comes next year, it's going to be over a year old. Avra loy ovra zmane loy ovra shnasa, but the third case, where the animal is under a year old, and it's still even, and it's still even before Pesach, where they are conceivably, this animal could be used for Pesach Rishon even. So why should it automatically become a shlomim? Eimalo, you would think maybe not. Sricha, and that is why we need the third pasuk for that case.
To say that it does become
a shlomim even in that case. Actually, by the way, as far as the question about what you were asking about, if it's over a year old and before Pesach, when you designated it was over a year old, Tosfos brings from a Mishnah in Tzachim that says actually that what you do is it still has the din of a shlomim to a certain extent, but not that you actually are makriv it as a shlomim. What you actually do is it's one of those ones that you leave it to graze till it develops a mum, then you sell it and use the money to buy a shlomim. So if when you first designated it was already no good for a Pesach, then anyway, the point is that we need three tzukim because you wouldn't realize that it applies even in the last case. Hadron ala chatoda hi soy haitabah. So now this next perek is going to talk about, so we've been talking about all this time about the menachos. Now we have to deal with the practicality. What kind of flour, what kind of oil, what kind of wine, etc., is used for karbanos? Where do they get it from? What the quality has to be, etc. That's going to be the subject of the perek. So the Mishnah starts off. Kol karbanos, all karbanos, Kol karbanos ha-tzibur v'ayachid, all karbanos of the tzibur or of the individual, boi mina oretz m'chot baret, can be brought from Eretz Yisrael or from chot baret, mina chodosh mina yashan, they can come from the new crop or from the old crop. Now Rashi explains that when we say kol karbanos, we're specifically talking about menachos. In other words, animals, there's no chiddush that they can come from anywhere, but the chiddush is that when it comes to menachos, that you're able to bring the wheat from anywhere, they can come there, the wheat can come from outside Eretz Yisrael.
That's the big chiddush.
Yeah, I mean, midrabbanan, not, because eventually, no, I mean, all outside, I can throw all those, but midrabbanan.
We know it.
We'll see in the Gemara. Tosfos actually says that, no, kol korbanos can mean literally all korbanos. Animals also, really. I mean, animals also, you have certain korbanos. Kor and meiser aren't brought from chutz la'aretz, but all other korbanos, you could bring the animals from chutz la'aretz. You can even make, they can have been goyim's animals, we learned before, that a goy can bring an ola.
The ones that you don't bring from chutz la'aretz, yeah.
Would be the kor and the meiser.
Kor
and meiser. We have sukkim that teaches that. Okay, anyway, the point is, so the Mishnah says that most korbanos, again, according to Rashi, we're talking specifically menachos, according to Tosfos, animal korbanos as well, they can come from Eretz Yisrael or from Chutz La'aretz, mina chadash mina yashan, they can be from the new crop or from the old crop. And when you say the new crop, some of them, of course, should explain what it means is, obviously it can't mean the new crop before you brought the omer, that would be, or before the shtei alechem, we learned before the omer would be possible, before the shtei alechem, it's not allowed to do. It would mean mina chadash from this year's crop, as opposed to mina yashan, right after the omer and after shtei alechem. Yeah. You have actually, the mincha chinuch says an interesting idea. He says that mina chadash might mean over here, given that we're saying that can come from chutz la'aretz, if we hold that chodesh in chutz la'aretz is not daraisa, which we discussed earlier in Perek Rabbi Shmuel, then the Mishnah may mean that if you bring the wheat for a mincha from chutz la'aretz, it could very well be from chodesh. There's no problem with it. It's not also anyway.
Okay. Not everybody agrees.
Not everybody agrees, because you said we had a machlokes whether it's daraisa or rabbanon or not at all. Yeah. The exception is the omer and the shtei lechem. She'en and bo'en el mena chodesh u'mina oretz. They have to come from the new crop, and they have to come from Eretz Yisrael, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. V'chulon en and bo'en el mena mut.
Does that include from the exterior, or the areas outside that are not, that are reshus?
No, so the Syria is kibbush yachid. It's not the full status of Eretz Yisrael, so no. Even Avra Yagin, I'm not sure that they can bring Menachos, that they can bring Noemar and Shalachim from. I'm not sure about that, though, but Syria for sure. Okay. The Chulon Einan Boin Elamin Amukar. Now, all Korbanos, though, can only be brought from the best quality of that particular type of thing. Flour or wine, etc., has to be the best quality. Some of them, of course, say, actually, I think the Teferi Tzirel says, that when we said Kulon Einan Boin Elamin Amukar, it means that, as we discussed previously, we said when we were talking about the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, that ideally they would bring them from as close as possible to Yerushalayim, so that they're fresh when they arrive in the Azara, but you shouldn't think that means you just go to the closest place, even if it's low quality. No, you still need to go to the best quality that's reasonably close to Yerushalayim. Okay. The Ezo Mubcha Shalahem, so what is the best, let's start with flour. What's the best place to get flour from? Machnes de Zatcha alpha basoilus. Machnes and Zatcha, different various places in Eretz Yisrael, are alpha. They are number one for soilus.
Now, where are they from?
They're different, these are certain places in Eretz Yisrael. What? Rashi Ksavyan says two possibilities what alpha means. He just said one possibility, actually. Alpha means, like Aleph, and yeah, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, so it means top quality. Miyochas Rashi says two possibilities. It means just like that Aleph is the first letter, so it means the top quality. And another explanation is that Aleph means the number one, and therefore it means this is the number one thing. And there's different ways of explaining it. Okay. So those places are Alpha Lasalus. Shnielahan Aparayim Babisha, the second best, Maschus and Zikha are the best, yeah. Michmas and Zinoicha, actually, I go to Bach change the two. Michmas is a village north of Yerushalayim. And then Zanoyach is Zinoicha, Zanoyach, whatever, the place in the lowlands of Yerushalayim, whatever, anyway. Shnielahan Aparayim Babisha, second best comes from Aparayim, which is from Aparayim in the valley. And Rashi, some valley in Eretz Yisrael, but Rashi points out there were two places named Aphraim in Eretz Yisrael. One was on a mountain, one was on a valley. That's in the valley. That's why the mission has to specify that we mean the one in the valley. Yeah. Tolha Rotha Tzayus. Now the fact is, any region of Eretz Yisrael is kosher to, and any region of Eretz Yisrael is kosher to bring menachos from. And in fact, Miyuchas Rashi says even Avra Yadin. But that's as far as most of them, not necessarily the Omer and the Shela. Okay. Elam Mikan. Not necessarily, I don't know. No, not necessarily. No, because, okay. Ela mikan hoyamazin, but the reason why we're mentioning these places, Machnes and Zatzah and Aparayim, is because these were the places where they would bring from when they had a choice.
That was an Eretz Yisrael.
They're all in Eretz Yisrael, but the point is, you have to bring Minam Mofer, and you have the first two places are Alpha, and the second one the second best, so therefore those are the places where they would bring them. If you brought it from Chutz La'aretz, we said it's kosher also, except for the Omer and the Shelach. So the Gemara starts with, Masnissin Deloiki Haitan. Now our Mishnah is not like the Tana of the following Brachah. The Tanya, Omer Habomina Yoshem Kosher, if the Omer is brought from old grain, then the Bidiyevit is kosher. And also the shteil lechem. If they don't have new grain, then they can bring it from old grain. So our Mishnah that said that they have to come from the chodosh disagrees with it. According to that, it would mean that you can't. So according to the Mishnah, it would mean that you can't. Elo shechiser mitzvah. However, the Braita says that if you brought them from Yoshem, then you're missing out on the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is to bring them from chodosh.
That is if you can,
but you're missing out on mitzvah. It's not the ideal way to do it. So, dichtiv oimer, how do we know in the case of the oimer, the Braita is saying that you can bring it from old grain, dichtiv tachli that's minchas bikurecha, the prophet says you should offer your minchas bikurim, and the word you should offer is extra. So therefore it means you should offer it regardless, even if all you have is old grain, vasculum in aliyah, even if you have to bring it down from the attic where it was being stored for a while.
Maybe it means just tachli the best one?
No, because then it doesn't have to be tachli. We know you have to bring the best anyway, yeah. Similarly, because the pasuk says from your dwelling places, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, you should bring, meaning the loyment maybe, the loyment chutz la'aretz, but it means definitely not from chutz la'aretz. Mimo shveitzeichem means ba'afilu min aliyah, but the word mimo shveitzeichem also teaches us from anywhere where you dwell in Eretz Yisrael, even if you have to bring it from the attic. So what do you mean? The Gemara says ha pitzei. Well, how are you learning two things from the same word?
In other words, you can bring the old one too.
If you have to, says the Braita. So the question is, if you're already saying Mimo Shveitzeichem means not Chutzlart, yeah, then you can't learn also of Min Aliyah. The answer is, Omakra Taviyu, because you have the word Taviyu in that topic, means Vafilu Min Aliyah.
It's not the same?
It's not the same, no. No, that was a different Taviyu. I think the other one was in the same topic, what we were learning over there, that we learned from that the lechem toida, about the size of the lechem toida or whatever. But you could also say the word itself is extra and the form of it could have said tovi, let's say, whatever. Yeah. Well, we didn't really discuss, but whatever, you could say that's it. And again, remember, our Mishnah doesn't let them hold of this, because our Mishnah says that the Omer and the Shteil Lechem have to be from Chodosh.
Fine.
So according to them, they're not using Tavi. Okay, so according to this Braita, you would say you could learn from Tavi, you could have said Tavi, and now it says Tavi. Fine, so the question is, you have a different thing that you're learning from the word Tavi. We're learning from it, the Lach Metoda, that whenever you're bringing something else, whenever you're bringing Chomet as a korban, namely the Lach Metoda, then it has to be like this, Harei Kazeh. And that's the answer, and came, list of Kurt Tovi. Yeah, but in that case, false Kurt says Tovi. My Tovi, ush, mamino tauti. So the fact is, so you can learn both things.
That's the answer.
Okay. Fine, so the question is, Vachtiv Reishit. What about though the Torah says that the Omer has to be Reishit Ktirchem, which means the beginning of the new crop, and not something
that's
sort of, well, in other words, yeah, the answer is L'mitzvah. Okay, it means the ideal mitzvah to do it that way, but it's not Ma'asim. Hey, Hachtiv Chadosha. What about though the Pasuk also says about Shtei Alechem Mincha Chadosha Lashem? The answer is Hayim Aboy, the Chidit Hanya, Rav Nosen, Rav Akiva, Amru, Shtei Alechem Aboy, Smin Ayoshen Kshedo. We need that for what Rav Nosen and Rav Akiva say. That is Rav Nosen Rav Akiva Amu. Shtei Alechem Aboyis Min Ayoshen. If the Shtei Alechem are brought from the old crop, Kshedus, then they are kosher, like this Braita is saying. Umani Mekayim Chadosha. So what am I doing? The Pasuk Chadosha means Shtei Chadosha L'Chol HaMenachos. It just means that it has to be the first mincha from the new crop that's brought that year. You can't bring from the new crop of grain any other mincha we learned before. The B'dievet, if you did it, it's kosher, but you're not supposed to until the Shtei Alechem are offered. That's what we're learning from the word Chadosha, but not necessarily that the Shtei Alechem themselves have to be from the new crop. Okay, so the bottom line is, thus far we have, so what we're saying is as follows. The Omer has to be the first one, yeah, until you bring the Omer, you can't eat Chodosh, you certainly can't be Makhlid, right? The Shrei Lechem, we're saying that it also has to be the first grain from that year that's brought to the Mincha. For Chulin purposes, you were allowed to eat the grain already from the second day of Pesach. So according to our Mishnah, we're saying, yes, the first Mincha from this year's crop, yeah. Except the Omer, of course. But the Omer and the Shrei Lechem themselves, according to the Braisa, don't necessarily have to be from the new crop. They can be Min Aliyah, as opposed to according to our Mishnah, they have to be from the new crop, and if not, then they're false. The Halacha actually, now it's interesting, usually you would think the Halacha ought to be like a Mishnah. However, here the Rambam passes the Di'evit, if you bring it Min Aliyah, then it's kosher. The Ravid argues on the Rambam on that, but the Ravid says this is backwards. And you have the Nosa Kalim on the Rambam deal with what does the Ravid mean that it's backwards and what does the Rambam hold. The one explanation the Kesef Mishnah says is the Rambam may have held. Sure, usually you go like a Mishnah versus a Braisa, but here where the Gemara is analyzing in detail what the Braisa is saying and trying to figure out where it gets its Lamudim from, that would seem to imply that the Halacha is like it.
That's the Nosek Kalim.
So that's the Kesef Mishnah, for example, talks to the Kesef Mishnah, talks about that, other Nosek Kalim. But therefore, so that Halacha ultimately would be like the Braisa, not like the Mishnah that they have to come in a Chodesh. They do have to come in a Aretz, that we're going to deal with tomorrow, Bez Hashem, but they don't have to be in a Chodesh. But still, obviously, they have to be right.
Fine. Yeah.